Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we welcome all to this worship service of Forest Hill Church on this glorious Lord's Day. We look forward in the service to sharing communion, so all who come today as believers in Christ are welcome to share in this meal with us. We have a few announcements for you before we begin, and that is that if you are in need of large print bulletins, they're available through the ushers. The vigil at the ICE offices, Interfaith Prayer Vigil, Thursdays at 4 p.m. If you're interested in attending that, you can contact Sharon Schumacher to carpool, and you would need to allow about 45 minutes to get there. If you're interested in joining Forest Hill Church, if you're looking for a church home, or simply want to do a little investigation on the Christian faith and Presbyterianism, we invite you to be a part of the class that is beginning on the 17th of this month. Please do come and check us out. There's no obligation to join, but you're certainly welcome, and we would look forward to that. And we also we want to welcome again Shanae Curtis, who just performed so wonderfully last evening. For those of you who did not make it, thank you for being here again. And Caleb and all who participated last night, and Wilson. And we would like to also announce that Ann Wilson would like folks to come tonight to the Compline service, which will be at Plymouth. Is it Plymouth Church?
Plymouth Church, Shaker Heights,
7
o'clock.
Okay, Plymouth Church, Shaker Heights, 7 o'clock this evening. And other announcements are printed in your bulletin if you will check the pages in the back, 8 through 10. And I'm going to give a moment for a couple of announcements. Jennifer?
Hello. Forest Hill is doing a new thing for Lent. Come to the Ash Wednesday dinner at 6:30 this Wednesday. We are asking only a free will offering. During dinner, you will participate in an activity to consider the areas of privilege in your life and develop a plan for how you might fast in connection with that privilege to help others. For example, do you own a car and drive to work or school each day? You might offer someone a ride. Do you have enough to eat? Try living on food stamps for a week and budget and donating the difference to the pantry. Or you can use this one great hour of sharing placemat that we have available to consider a privilege and add a coin to the fish box, which will be available next week, to donate for one great hour sharing. If you can join us on Wednesday for dinner, you can put a note in the collection plate and let us know. You can confirm on email. And if you can't make it, the information is still out there. So do remember, it is a free will offering. The information on page 9 is a work in progress, so you can ignore the $12 suggested. But please come and join us and celebrate the fast.
Yeah, and there's one more important announcement. I think I need to get to turn myself on. Yes, on page 8. Very important announcement. One of the things that we want to be doing in this church is the formation of small groups so we get to know each other better. And as you'll see looking at, under the looking ahead title, are you interested in joining or forming a small group? There's going to be an organizational meeting, and Lisa Copes and Liz Wallager, Kurt Haas, and some others are going to come together this coming Saturday, March 9th, from 3 to 4:30 here, and to talk about how do we grow this organic sense of being led by the Spirit to come together in interest groups and study groups and any kind of groups you want. So look at that. Make sure that's on your calendar, 3 to 4:30, March 9th. Thanks.
Let us continue to worship God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Good morning, Forest Hills. Please join me in the call to worship. Climb with Moses up the mountain of God.
God's glory shines like the sun.
Climb with Jesus up the mountain of God.
Christ's glory shines like the sun.
Climb with the faithful up the mountain of God.
The Spirit's glory shines like the sun.
Climb the mountain of God.
We have come to see and to worship.
Comic strip some years ago, and Lucy walks out the back door where Charlie Brown is there. The back fence is covered with all of these bullseyes, and apparently he had landed everywhere around the fence. There were bullseyes. Lucy was just so impressed, and she said,
Charlie Brown, how did you do it? And he says, well, at first it was hard, and then I started just shooting the arrow, and I would draw the bullseye. And I don't know if there's a more perfect example. When we sin, it simply means that we've missed the mark. And it's God's invitation not to cover it up, not to draw a perfect bullseye, but to come to God and say, Lord, I blew it. I sinned. I missed the mark. Let us pray together as God is listening and promises to hear us in unison. God of compassion, in Jesus Christ you reveal the light of your glory, but we turn away, distracted by our own plans. We confess that we speak when we should listen and act when we should wait. Forgive our aimless enthusiasms. Grant us wisdom to live in your light and to follow in the way of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My friends, the scripture says to us that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With God, there is a second chance and a third and a fourth. Praise be to God. Together, the one who calls us into the light of love and compassion now shines in our hearts to reveal God's glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thank you.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Hear what the Holy Spirit is telling God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Patience. Security.
I love that thing. I got to march in the spirit more often. I love that.
Thank you, Ann, and I apologize for marching over your wonderful traveling music.
Kids, that was awesome. I want to start marching more. That's great, marching in the light. Before I start, I got to tell you, I didn't even know this till Reverend Goins and I are walking down the side aisle that Shannon and LaDon Hedden are in the house today. Could you just stand up? Come on. I checked in on Shannon. She was in Cuba. So I'm glad you're back, sister. Welcome. Love you. And I'm so glad you're here. Shannon, of course, was the director of our youth ministry for almost 3 years, and she's now in seminary at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. And I'm telling you, she's going to help crack open this Presbyterian church, and we're going to do things in a new way. God bless you. And LaDon, always. I thought of you. I was reading in the paper about the Wu-Tang Clan coming. And you're the first person I thought of because you turned me on to them. Okay, enough of that. All right, I got to preach. Let's pray. You know, gracious and holy one, thank you for this magnificent day of worship where we're here and we get to like revel, you see, in the light of your love, and we get to like touch that light that is within. Gosh, let us shine. Let us shine. Speak to us a word we need to hear this day in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I so clearly remember the day when it was the end of my third year in seminary and I was walking in the quad and my seminary professor said, "John, you know, what are you going to do with yourself now?" And I know, laughter was probably the first. And I said, "Well, I guess I'll go to church. I guess I'm going to become a minister."
And he said, well, you know, that's good. That's good. But don't neglect your academic side. Heck, I didn't even know I had an academic side. But you know, that brief conversation changed my life. I had no idea at that time that that was a kind of an anointing story, a kind of a baptism story. I had been sort of, you know, wondering what I was going to do with my life, and I knew I had a call to ministry, and that was wonderful. But there was something particular about coming to the waters of His grace and hearing that. Like, you know, don't neglect that side. You know, so I had to go into that wilderness for a while, that wilderness of sort of the academic track. I remember my ordination at the First Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Virginia. As you can imagine, my mother and my father and my grandmother sitting there with such pride. Finally, their baby turned good, right? And I was now Reverend Lenz. I know. People started treating me differently. They would apologize when one of their words, their language, was not as polite. They go, oh, you're the reverend. I better, like, clean up. Little did they know what I was, you know, the words I were using in the back room. I had this new identity, right? Now, I didn't appear with Moses and Elijah. And that's a little presumptuous. But I remember people from my home church back in Washington would say, oh, John, I mean Reverend Lance, you're in line with Reverend George Dougherty and with Peter Marshall. I know. I mean, it was heady stuff. And it was a kind of identity time. It was a transfiguration time. Of course, I also remember when Deanne's and my first child was stillborn. It makes you wonder. But during that time, we also discovered a love of God that was so personal and dear and transformative. And we also learned about how much a church, you know, can, what that can mean for you, and how fellow Christians can just lift you up and love you back to health in a way. It's kind of so profound. I still have a hard time talking about it, not because it's sad, just because you can't put words to it. We have, all of you have, these moments in your life. What I call baptism stories, startup stories. When you were young and fresh, or maybe old and fresh, I don't know. But these startup stories, when all of a sudden it's like, whoa, huh. I think you all, if we would give any kind of time to it, all have transfiguration stories. When all of a sudden it's like, I got a new identity. I kind of know who I am. We walked into the light of that new identity. And I know that you and I all have garden stories. Like Garden of Gethsemane stories. Right? Where you stood alone and you wondered if there even was a God. And if there was, what was it all about? Now, if I may, Shanae, I'm going to pick on you just for a second. But first time, I think about you. I remember you standing in our choir. I remember first time hearing you going, man, that girl's got a pretty good voice. It's like a baptism story. It's like, whoa, you got something. You know? And then last night at this recital where I promise you, most of it I was in tears of pure joy and just the love of your story. And I'm like, you know, the Shanae, Tiger Nation, singing in front of the Prince of Wales. Her identity of a world-class artist. And that's quite some identity. And I'm sure you've gone through some stuff. And from someone who's a lot older, you're going to go through more stuff. Right? And you're going to have to, like, find something. You're just going to do it. That's what life does to you. But it's all good and it's all holy. And that's what I want you to think about today. It's all good if you trust God. It's all holy if you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit. Because I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist, Psalm 139. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, wherever Sheol is, hell, you are there. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Like, can you believe that and like hold on to that? That continual presence of God's love in your life, whether you are on the top of the mountain or in the pit of hell. There's no way that you can get outside of God's love for you if you're open to it. You see, God is present in every stage of your life, present in every crisis, present at every triumph, present at every disaster, present at every sadness, at your coming out, at your transfiguration, and yes, standing by the grave. There is no place where you can go where God is not present. And embedded in this gospel story, you see, of Christ's transfiguration, a story that should inform your and my story, is a promise that God is God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is the God of the desert. God is God of the mountaintop. And God is God of the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
Jesus takes Peter, John, and James up the mountain. And we know Jesus turns all radiant and glowy. Peter gets all befuddled. Peter wants to build shrines, but you and I know you cannot enshrine God. You cannot box God in. Peter doesn't even know what he's talking about. The disciples are terrified, just like you and I would be terrified if we really bumped into an unmediated sense of the divine. You and I'd be in our face. We'd be chasing to get behind that bush. Now, when you think about how the disciples knew it was Moses and Elijah, I have no clue. They didn't have social media. You couldn't just like call up, what does Moses look like? But I just want to tell you, don't get tripped up on those details. Please, you're wasting your time. Open yourself up to the subtleties. Much more important. Because this is the way of divine encounters, you see. You see things you usually don't see, and you know things you usually don't know. But the point is this. Moses represents the law. Represents God's revelation of the law to the people. Elijah represents God's revelation through the mouth of the prophets. And now Jesus standing there with Elijah and Moses is representing the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed, the Messiah. Jesus gets his confirmation of his identity, right? An identity that he has struggled with. An identity he had to go through the wilderness for. An identity that will lead him into the depths of the shadow of hell before he reaches the eternal light of glory. And so Luke, you see, is telling the first readers, hearers, and is telling you and me, Jesus can be trusted. Past, present, and future. Jesus is going to be in your life yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Christ of God can be trusted with your life. When you are on the mountaintop of revelation or you've made your bed in Sheol. So, little interaction. Pick up your bulletin. Look at the scripture reading that Caleb read. Look at verse 32. It says, now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. Where else in the gospel do you have a passage where the disciples are way down with sleep? Call it out.
Gethsemane.
Right, Garden of Gethsemane. Interesting. Look at verse 35. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Where have you heard something like that before? Uh-huh. So here on the mountaintop of Revelation, you see, Jesus gets the answer to that which he has wrestled with in the wilderness of temptation. Who are you, Jesus? And the answer is, you are the Son, the chosen one. But here's how it gets interesting. This is what grabbed me this week. This experience of revelation, you see, of identity. There's a foreshadowing of the abandonment in the garden. Like, why are you sleeping? As well as a flashback to the freshness of that first experience of baptism. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And this is what you and I need to hear again and again and again and again as we come back to this story. Yes, God is present at your baptism when you're all fresh and cute and beloved. Yes, God is pleased with you. Yes, God is present at the moment of the clarity of your call. Those moments of insights when you dazzle. And yes, God is also present in the dark gardens of discontent, even death. God is present when you are wandering in the desert. God is present when you are carrying your cross. God is present when you have forgotten you are beloved and you've done stupid things. Amen. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer and fuller be. You know, when you trust that truth, here I'm going to lay the gospel on you. When you give your heart to that truth, it will change your life. You'll see the world differently. You'll look at other people differently. You'll look at your own life differently. With maybe a radiance of God. And this message is for you and for me this Sunday before Ash Wednesday, when we claim the blessedness of mortality. How weird is that? That even the most robust body, not mine, I was going to point to me, but not just, even the most robust body is going to turn to dust. Lent is your turn and our turn to contemplate and to meditate and wonder upon about who you are and whose you are. And are you willing to walk the road that is before you? So if you are at the start of something good and rich and wonderful, a brand new adventure, go for it. Immerse yourself in it. Take risks. Explore. Do not behave. I'm serious. God loves believers more than behaviors. I think that's really true. Remember when you were fresh and it was all before you. You know, maybe when you first looked at your beloved. That kind of freshness. And if you're on the Mount of Revelation and you see maybe for the first time the great possibilities of choice, others might think you're crazy, but you know. You've been through some stuff already, but there you stand. Could be anything. It could be a new identity. You are out and you are proud. Or you've had enough of something, and you just got to let it go. Because God is calling you in a new identity, calling you in a new direction. Finally, coming to who you are. It's not always easy. But you also catch a glimpse of who you must be. Man, that is about as holy a moment as you can experience. Here I stand. I am I. I can do no other. And if you're in the garden of despair, and you feel so lost, and alone and lonely and desperate, desperate for that cup to pass. And you don't even know if there is a God. You don't even care. And you have to take that step into the lonesome valley. Maybe you just heard from the doctor. Maybe the addiction is becoming overwhelming again. Maybe that pit looks very tempting. There is holiness even in the hell. Even if you only feel the presence of God's absence, Jesus has been there. Jesus is with you. Nothing separates you from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so for those of you who are struggling, and I know you're out there this day, I feel you today. It's up to the rest of us to show God's grace and mercy and love. Because if we don't do it, how are they going to know? God is present, you see. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, God is present. And you know, I got to say, I'm closing up, but I just got to share this because there's such craziness in our news. This helps me, this truth that God is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it helps me through all this present madness in our nation. When we get lies for truth and a declaration of emergency when there isn't one, and our leaders are chasing the betters of our angels off the playing field and selling their souls, equating power with fear and faith with ignorance. And today when I was reading, and I want to remember the life of Stephon Clark, innocent black man shot down by police. Even in this, God is. God is calling us. And you and I have been given this amazing identity to be Christ in the midst and not give up and not give in. So don't do it. And today's communion reminds us of God's presence. So we eat and we drink, come to the wedding feast. There is a place for each one of you. I don't care where you are in your journey. If you can barely stand up or if your spiritual life is just a wreck, we're dragging you to the table. You need it more than anybody else. So let's come. No matter what stage of the journey, lay down the burden and come. That burden will probably be waiting for you. So you might as well just drop it and come on, get something to eat. Because none of us is worthy enough to be here. Doesn't that take the pressure off? God is God of yesterday and tomorrow. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Right? Let that promise bring you through and lead you into the waters and up the mountain and the path towards the shadow of the cross and then to the edge of the empty tomb. Amen.
Feels like too abrupt a shift to go from that powerful word to the ritual of freedom, but I'm going to see how that's integrated into what you talked about.
So God is there too.
Just briefly, if you will, pass down the pad and fill that out so that the ushers can pick that up following worship or church growth, I think it is. And we come to the offering in our service today. And so I just invite us to prepare to give as God has already put on our heart, as we have already committed ourselves to give. Because the gifts that we give today continue to support the work not only of this ministry, but of our ministry beyond Forest Hill Church, the greater Cleveland area, and through to our national church. Let us prepare to give.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. But you will your full works consider, consider all her palaces.
That you may tell it to generations following, that he may tell it to generations following, that he
God, we give you thanks for these gifts, for the hearts that were open to give and the hands that let go, and also for those who could not afford to give at this time. But we ask that you will bless these gifts and guide us and direct us so that we might use them in ways that continue to uphold your church, your ministry, and your kingdom in this world. In Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Thank you.
with me. Gracious God, we thank you again and again and again. And we can't thank you enough. We are here today because our trust is placed in you and our hearts are open to you. And we lift to you our prayers and burdens. Your word says to us to come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, Lord, even if we sin boldly, you call us to come boldly to you. Even if we dream boldly, even if we aspire, and if we pray and pray that's okay, we can bring all of that to you. Even if we come with burdens for our world right now that seems to be going amok a little bit, and perhaps your people have prayed this prayer every generation throughout time, but we come and we ask that you would hear us today once again, O Lord. Bless us, Lord, so that your church knows that our witness matters in this world, that what we say and do matters in this world, that it has impact. And although it doesn't seem all that apparent to us in the immediate, that we continue to work and to hold forth your will and your way. And we pray that you will help us to do that and to stand fast, even in the midst of, after so much work and bringing down walls, there's still a wall that persists. Even after all of the time that we have prayed and marched and worked for freedom and equality, we continue to find ways to set more and more people apart, to marginalize them, to come up with new groups to marginalize. Lord, we know that that's not your way. So we say, Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. We pray, Lord, for this congregation, this community here, greater Cleveland area. We pray, Lord, that you will indeed look upon us with your mercy. We know that you sit high and you look low, but we also know that you come down. We know that you have already done that in Jesus Christ, and that you do intervene in human affairs. And so we pray, Lord, where there is still suffering, where there is still poverty, where there is still distinctions made that honor some and dishonor others, Lord, you know what our needs are. And all of this boils down to, we all need to be saved. Amen. We just do, even when we don't know it. And sometimes what we need to be saved from most is ourselves. Lord, help us. Jeremiah said that our minds can be desperately wicked and we won't even know it. So help us to see through your eyes of love. We pray this in Christ's name. And we pray for all those who may be suffering, even within this congregation, those who are grieving losses over this past year and even more, because grief doesn't wear a timepiece. It's not on a time clock. It will be grieved. So we ask that you would be with those who have had to say goodbye to their loved ones and who walk now in ways apart from them, trying to learn to integrate the losses into their lives so that they can move on in faithfulness. We pray, Lord, for our children, for the new babies coming, those children who are up and moving, and our young people, our youth. We pray for this congregation as a whole, for our members who are aging. All of us are aging, but who are aging to the point that it is having an effect of bearing on how they live and even where they live. Some who are preparing to leave their homes and to move into new places. And Lord, we know that all of this transition is challenging for us as human beings. There's something about moving. I believe it said that it's the second largest stressor to even the death of a loved one. So Lord, we do pray that you will be with each of us. Be with us, Lord, with your presence, grace, and comfort. and bless us so that everything else that is said and done, even as it has been to this point, will continue to bless you in this worship service. Hear us as we pray the Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy
kingdom come,
thy will
be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. The scripture tells us that he took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He also took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it, all of you. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the love of the saving Lord until he comes again." And my brothers and sisters, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Amen.
This is the cup of salvation. And the body of Christ will come to you. This is the cup of salvation. This is the body of Christ will come to you. This is the cup of salvation. The body of Christ will come to you. This is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus Christ, for the gift of grace we have received from your hand. Now send us forth to reflect your light, proclaiming your saving death and resurrection until you come again in glory. Amen.
Benediction, I want to give my good friend and one who you all know, Kemp, to give a brief announcement. Supposed to do it at the beginning, but beginning and an end, Alpha and Omega, it's okay.
Speak into that. Good morning.
Good morning.
So next Sunday, March 10th, from 2 to 4 p.m., my wife, Cindy, and my daughter, Kate, and I are hosting an open house meet and greet for Reverend Goines. We live in Cleveland Heights, so if you're interested, email Annette or me at kevjcox@yahoo.com. We have room for up to 25 people. And just a heads up, we do have a crazy dog. So, but if you give him a belly scratch and a treat, he'll be your best friend. And if you have trouble with steps, guess what? We have a wheelchair ramp. So. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Kev. That's all I need, too, is a belly scratch and a few treats. We're easy. Anyway, yeah, next Sunday, 2 to 4, but it's the first 25, so we do want to honor that. And, you know, crazy dog goes crazy after 25. Also, if you want a CD of last night's concert, wow, it's sold in our hallway along with a Night of Wonder. Okay, my friends, believe it because it's true. God loves you. Nothing separates you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. So remember, if you're just coming out, if you're on the mountaintop or in the garden, God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. Now go forth in peace to know the love of God. God created you in divine likeness and image. Jesus Christ has saved you. The Holy Spirit is already clearing a way and creating space in you to be that sanctuary that we are called to be.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Peace of the Lord be with you. Turn to your neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you now and forever. Amen.